So sometimes Jesus mixes his metaphors. If you can't read this, it says, you have to stop mixing metaphors. Our readers will think you're not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. We get a mixed metaphor in today's gospel reading. Jesus starts off by talking about the legitimate shepherd who comes through the gate, in contrast to thieves and bandits who come over the wall. The sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd and will follow him. But those who were listening did not understand what he meant, so he tried again, not by saying, I am the good shepherd, that would come later, but by saying, I am the gate. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The gate protects the sheep from predators, because without one, the wolves, thieves, and bandits could just walk in the door. Jesus is the gate that lets the sheep go in and go out. There is a Greek idiom, to come in and go out, that refers to living among or in relationship with a community of some kind. So it's not too much of a stretch to think that Jesus may be referring to the nascent Christian community. Now, to say that he is the gate and has come to give abundant life is very similar to that more familiar I am statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To those of us who have enrolled in the reign of God, who identify as the sheep of his flock, these are comforting images, but they also have a shadow side. The shadow comes whenever we separate one group of people and give them special privileges. And whenever we start to think that we are somehow better than others. But unfortunately, this shadow is woven into our social fabric. The European culture that came to this land and developed it and created the civilization that we now think of as America did so over the dead bodies of other people. The 15th century doctrine of discovery gave church sanction to Europeans claiming land which was inhabited by non-Christians and claiming that it was now theirs and treating the people living there as subhuman. And so, as we know, in this land, the indigenous people were subjugated and treated cruelly. Here in California in 1853, the governor declared extermination of all Indians and gave hunters a bounty for Indian scalps, which continued for 50 years. It's horrifying. It's as horrifying as the institution of slavery and the cruel treatment of African American slaves. But it's not something that's completely in the past. Indigenous people are still treated as less than whites. One example, only 1.4% of all Americans do not have electricity in their homes, but 14.2% of Native Americans do not have electricity in their homes, and most of those are in Navajo land. And our educational system is failing as well. Native American students are 237% more likely to drop out of school and 207% more likely to be expelled from school than their white counterparts. And white culture continues to perpetuate the myth that we are somehow better. White supremacy is not dead, and it's supported by Christian nationalism, a strange ideology which distorts Christian thinking and ties it in with a patriotism that says that this country was intended by God to be specifically set apart, and that Christianity should be privileged by the state. It implies that to be a good American, one must be a Christian, and it often provides cover for racist attitudes and gun violence. I don't think for a moment that this was what Jesus intended, and I think that it must grieve the heart of God. The reading from Acts gives us a very different picture of the early believers. This was not a community which found its identity through excluding other people, but through the worship of God. It sounds to me from that reading from Acts as though they were living the values of hospitality. The gate of their sheepfold was open to all who came with goodwill. We know from later writings that as things developed, it got a lot more complicated, and the early church wrestled with whether you could be a Christian without also becoming a Jew, and how Gentiles and Jews could be part of the same sheepfold, and of course, whether women were really equal and could speak in church. So, if Jesus is gate, truth, way, life, through whom one has to pass to come to the Father, Mother, Creator, how can that not be an exclusive message? Actually, I do think that Jesus kind of intended to be somewhat exclusionary, because the gospel reading is as much a warning against thieves and bandits as it is a statement about Jesus the Christ. As the gate, Jesus could and would exclude those who were trying to get something just for themselves, those who were distorting the message of God's love for their own gain. But the invitation is open to everyone. And I think when we come unstuck is when we take this too literally. I am the gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How many people think Jesus was a gate? Not literally, I think. So why do we assume that a few chapters later, he's speaking literally? In John's gospel, Jesus is proclaimed as Word and Christ in the very opening verses. In the prologue, John makes it very clear that Jesus is the Christ. And when Jesus says, I am, he is invoking that amazing meeting between Moses and God at the burning bush, when God says, I am who I am. Jesus is implying, when he says, I am the gate, I am the way, he is implying that he is one with Yahweh, the great creator God. When Jesus says, I am, he is claiming his oneness with the Christ and putting the conversation into a mystical realm, a realm which is beyond and above and within the nuts and bolts of this world. However we humans come to Christ, come to God, however we discover or rediscover our deep connection with oneness, the Christ is involved. The Christ who is the be-all and end-all of creation, the Alpha and Omega, who brings together earth and heaven. It is the Christ who is the gate, the way, the truth, the life. It is the Christ who came in Jesus to fulfill the mission of reconciling earth and heaven. And it is the Christ who meets with us in written word and sacrament. There has been a situation here in Los Osos which has caused me sadness and some soul searching. A group of people planned to hold a workshop at South Bay Community Center, a workshop to teach people who wanted to learn how to have kinky sex safely and consensually. They had planned it carefully with the space and the community in mind, and the South Bay Community Center board had agreed to rent the space to them on that basis. But some of our neighbors became very upset and believed that in some way those people threatened the community, that somehow kinky sex would leak out the doors of the community center and threaten children playing in the playground. Some of those who complained, sadly, even seemed to think that any kind of unusual behavior in the bedroom is equivalent to pedophilia. And so the event was cancelled. My soul searching comes from the fact that even though I read the angry and hateful comments, I did not speak up. I could not find the words. And perhaps I was a little afraid that the mob might turn on me. My sadness comes from how quickly people rush to judgment without full information, and how quickly they assume that the community board, community center board, were stupid. God gave us bodies to be enjoyed. We use them to relate to each other, and we enjoy them in different ways. Some people enjoy skydiving and roller coasters. I do not. I prefer hiking and kayaking. Staying on the ground, you're absolutely right. The way we express our intimate relationships with our bodies will also be different. But I am no better in my enjoyment of birding than my friend who loves loud concerts. We are all God's children. We are all invited to be sheep of his fold. You and I are not the gate. We do not get to define who is in and who is out. We are not superior because of the color of our skin or because of our ethnic heritage or our educational attainment. God loves each one of us equally. St. Benedict's has always understood that Christian community is intended to be inclusive, that anybody who seeks God's face is welcome among us. And we also understand that we get to extend that hospitality beyond the walls of the church, moving in the community as messengers of God's love, both individually and through the abundance shop, community dinners, laundry love, people's kitchen, Los Osos Cares, and the work of our discovery team. Next Saturday at 10 o'clock, Deacon Jen and I will be at South Bay Community Center at the Community for All March and Rally. We will be standing with others against the quality of hate that was displayed against the organizers of the Kink Workshop and the board of South Bay Community Center. And I hope that you might consider joining us, because we need to stand up. We need to stand up against hatred masquerading as holiness. We need to stand up against the thieves and bandits who distort the words of Jesus for their own sake. Because through Jesus the Christ comes healing and the reconciliation of God and humanity. Because we are the sheep of his pasture, and we follow the example and the teaching of the one who said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly."